Turn it up.
Get ready.
You're tuned in to VO Buzz Weekly.
The show where aspiring voice actors,
established VO pros,
and curious fans alike get to meet and learn.
From the mega successful talent in voiceover, hear their personal stories, find out how they became so successful,
learn their secrets, and join them at the top.
Get seriously buzzed with your hosts, Chuck Duran and Stacey J. Aswan.
Hey, everybody, I'm Stacey J.
And I'm Chuck Duran.
Welcome to another amazing episode of VO Buzz Weekly.
That's right. You guys ready to get buzzed some more with Maurice LaMarche?
Absolutely.
Let's go. Earlier, Mo, you were talking about some very important exercise that you do to warm you up before certain jobs.
Oh.
Maybe you can take us through that exercise.
Yeah, actually, it's
very scientific.
I don't warm up. I know a lot of guys that do that sort of, wow. You know, I don't do that. What I do is I wait till I start tripping over words, and then I start correcting. So if I, like, run the D's together, it's like, you know, just, and whatever, if it's the R's, you know, whatever's tripping me up, I like have to say it like 5 or 6 times. It's a little weird looking and sounding.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then I always finish it with a fart sound. Just so that they know I'm done. So that when the engineer looks at that, the wavy lines.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, there's the edit.
Well, speaking of farts, something near and dear to my heart. Whoops.
Hey,
not come over here. Your and our dear friend Rob Paulson has called your bodily functions as otherworldly sounds. How would you like to answer to that, Mr. LaMarche?
Well, they are. I went out in my backyard one morning, and there was this glowing meteor, and I was imbued with the superpower of being able to make this disgusting burp sound. It's really just it's a vocal effect. I provided the 15-second long burp in the movie Elf. Mm-hmm. Buddy takes that, you know, drinks that entire bottle of Coke. They tried, you know, doing some sound design where they cobbled together a bunch of real burps. It just wasn't sounding right.
No.
So I went in, and it's just a thing I do, and I don't you know, want to cost myself money here because I'm right now only my brother Jason, who you know is you know in the horse breeding business in Canada and has no aspirations to get into it. So I feel safe knowing that he does it actually a little better than I do.
Oh, but we got some
competition. It's this. It's a vocalization where I just rasp my throat like that. But if I turn my tongue inside out and create like 2 echo chambers here, it becomes. And there it is.
Oh my goodness gracious.
That's fabulous.
Holy
well, now,
Toledo.
Now, Animaniacs, you were Wacko Warner's
I
burp.
Was the stunt burp for Jess.
He was a stunt burper.
Jess did the so fabulous like, voice, and you burped.
You know, and it was Wacko at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
You know? And doing classical music belching. So.
That is so great. And didn't you, I heard you say somewhere that they sampled all your burps, like all the keys?
They did. We did all the tunes, and then just for coverage, they had me burp about 100 times, or do both real burps and the syntho belch, as I call it.
The syntho belch.
They have the technical name to the, yeah.
And they put them on, they sampled each one and put it on a keyboard. So they could actually play them in key. They picked the ones that were closest to C, D, E, F sharp, and all.
So great.
Yeah. So they could actually do like an entire symphony of burps if they wanted.
Wow,
to.
What a trip. Yeah. That is funny, man.
That is great. Did you ever get any advice along the way on your career that you think has helped you?
Mike Binder told it to me early on. Mike Binder is currently a film director, but we started as comedians together. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, make sure that, you know, forget about showing up to do your creativity, your performance, whether it was being a comedian or even a voiceover. Mm-hmm. He said, forget about showing up and having it be about you and how great you are. And don't worry about if you're good going on. Don't worry about them liking you. Worry about helping them. Think about whether or not you're going to... There's a guy in the audience tonight that had a crappy day at work today. Your job as a comic is to go out there and help him forget that crappy day. Forget about being, you know, taken to task in front of the entire office for not filing the paper clips correctly or whatever, you know, whatever thing happened to him. That's your job. And I never forgot it. It's always about being of service. It's always about how can I help? And when I go in to do, you know, a Lexus session or an episode of Futurama, please God save Futurama. You know, it's about helping them do a better show, or it's about helping my producers make a better commercial. And I never worry about, am I good here? How do I sound? Do I sound all right?
Yeah.
You know, so that's that. And be easy to work with always. That's the, you know, whatever you do, show up and be easy to work with and try to be on time. Do better than Uncle Mo. Uncle Mo.
Do better than Uncle Mo.
That's right, because La Marche actually is short for La Marche de 5 minutes. Tardi, whatever. So it means it's short for walks in 5 minutes late. I'm always 5 minutes late. I can't help it.
That's your.
Do better than I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So be on time and show up to help. Bring a spirit of helpfulness and service wherever you go.
Yeah. That's really cool, man.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
But you mentioned Futurama, and there is a petition. Do you know how long the petition's going to go on?
We'll leave it up there forever.
Okay.
It's a fellow Canadian named Gordon Yarley put up the day that the news was announced that Comedy Central wouldn't be picking up Futurama. He put up a petition called Save Futurama Again.
Mm-hmm. Again.
Yeah, because it was saved from when Fox canceled it.
And as we record it, the last time I looked, we had 11,000 signatures. It may grow, you know, hopefully, but it was only in a couple of weeks, 11,000 signatures. 11,000 people who took the time and trouble to fill out a form.
Yeah.
It wasn't just click. It was like you have to fill out your unique name. And that's extraordinary to me, because for every person that signed that, there's got to be, you know, hundreds or thousands of people back of them
that
felt
that
way, but they just didn't get around to it.
What's even more extraordinary to me is that the show is so loved and so watched that it's kind of like, why is it always
thinking
on the chopping block?
I don't know, and you know, it's certainly Comedy Central's right to decide they've made enough episodes,
right?
And we're very grateful to Doug Herzog and everybody over Comedy Central for giving us, 52 more episodes. It's wonderful, but I think everybody at Futurama, I know Matt feels that we've got a lot more stories to tell, and we all as a family of people making that show would miss each other like crazy not getting to do it, and. You know, so we're hoping that somehow or another the show can come back on another network or maybe via an online platform like Netflix or something like that.
Right.
I know that people with far better, you know, smarts than me and with, you know, better access are working on getting somehow the show back.
Well, there's a Facebook page. Was it Save Futurama?
Save Futurama
and they can go
again.
There and find.
Yeah, and then the petition will be on there and
fill it out.
Yeah, do it.
So go to the Facebook page, Save Futurama again, and you know, let Netflix know and let Comedy Central know, and you know, there's who knows? Maybe if we have a very strong showing this summer.
Yeah.
Because we have 13, I think, of the best episodes we've ever done.
Wow.
Coming up, then you know, people will. You know, maybe even Comedy Central might go, you know what, maybe we should have, all right, let's we took a year off, now come back and do more episodes.
All right, exactly. Well, you guys know what to do.
Yeah.
So
maybe support Futurama if you love it. And, you know, you can do it through Facebook, and certainly I've got the link up on my Twitter page. Go there and support the show.
I want to do a true or false.
Oh.
No. You are only the third person in history and the second in the last 50 years to be the official voice of Popeye?
That is true, although there are those who have followed me, including my dear friend Billy West.
I was the
second after Jack Mercer. And
how did you get that? How'd that happen?
They created the show for Jack called Popeye and Son, where they were finally going to bring Popeye into the 80s.
Wow.
Which at that time was the future.
Rocker Popeye.
Yeah.
Get down, baby.
So they were going to bring Popeye into the 80s, and he and Olive Oil were married. And, you know, she was always off to an aerobics class. And she even had those...
Remember those
weird, like, leg warmer things?
Yes, leg warmers.
They were leg warmers. They were like socks, but with no feet. They stopped at your ankles.
Yeah. I used to wear those.
Yeah.
Very flash dancer.
Exactly. So it was Flashdance Olive Oil.
Yeah.
Or and Popeye, you know, was in a Hawaiian shirt. He'd retired from the Navy or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had a son, Popeye Jr. And And unfortunately, Mr. Mercer passed away. So they shelved the show for a little bit, and they thought, well, let's make it. Let's see if we can find a mimic who can do the voice.
A mimic.
A mimic, an impressionist, a stooge, a starker, right? I don't know. Anyway, so, you know, they had a cattle call, and I auditioned again. I was stunned.
A cattle call of, like, five people, right?
No, they heard everybody. They
for
heard,
real?
Like, they heard, like...
I mean, because how many people can do Popeye?
I don't know how many...
cast a wide net for something like that, I would imagine.
Yeah, they did. They read in New York and L.A., and I just ended up with it. I thought for sure that I knew, you know, there were other people who did the voice, I thought, better.
Yeah.
I ended up with the job.
Can we hear your Popeye? I love Popeye, by the way. That's my favorite character ever.
I love Popeye.
Well, it would always, you know, the show was not terribly Popeye.
Mo's like, why's this guy asking me to do it?
No, the show wasn't very Popeye-centric.
Right.
Because it was all about the kid, you know, so they wanted to, you know, they had to be a relatable character. I don't know why we didn't need relatable characters when we were kids. I could watch a show about an adult with gigantic arms with a spinach fetish, but apparently you need to have... That generation of kids needs to only watch shows about kids.
Yeah.
So it was about Popeye Jr. and Bluto's son and how they resolved conflicts without their fists. And of course, you know, Popeye Jr. hated spinach.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would always be reminding him, what adventure are you off on today, son? Well, whatever it is, don't forget your spinach. Go. And every episode ended with, that's my boy. And that was
nice.
It, you know? So.
Oh, that's so good, man.
Yeah, so that was my Popeye.
If you were not a comedian prior, and you weren't in the voiceover industry,
I'd kill myself.
You would not.
If I had your job, I'd kill myself.
I would.
My favorite line.
What else?
My favorite John Lovitz line from A League of Their Own. Yeah.
And that sounds exactly like him, too.
Yeah.
I'd kill myself. What else do you think you would have been great at? Have you ever thought about it?
Wow. No, I'm getting an anxiety attack just thinking about it. I have no idea. I might have written.
Writer?
I might have, yeah. I love to write, and yet I've never shown anybody anything I've written.
Wow, there's a secret.
I love to, you know, write little commentaries, little snarky things on other people's Facebook pages.
Do you have a blog?
I don't, because I just...
Public consumption.
No, it's not that. I guess I don't feel entitled enough to hold forth on my opinion on whatever the given thing of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter what you express, you're going to alienate people. And I'm far too much of a people pleaser to want to alienate anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I need to be liked and likable at all times in our business.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that's your
I don't want
and
to
you
that,
are,
that
so
opinionated
congrats
bastard.
On that, man. I mean, yeah. You know,
maybe one day if the work dries up, all of a sudden I'll become this curmudgeon.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden Mo's like, you remember that guy used to be like really, really nice? Yeah. And now he's like not.
You could do a memoir of your Mo thinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. From Mo's point of view, as Mo sees it.
Is there something that you still hope to accomplish in your life or your career?
Oh, goodness, yes. I'd love to have a show. I'd love to have Futurama go to 20 seasons. I'd love to go back to stand-up at some point.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool, man.
It's just a question of, I think what has to happen is, as happened in Futurama, the Earth just needs to come out just a little further from the sun so the days have 27 hours in them instead of 24, so that I have those extra hours to write and act and go do them, because with 24 hours in the day, I gotta sleep for six of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you are busy, man. You are one of the guys.
I'm going all day long. I don't miss or am ungrateful for how busy I am. But it really is the toughest part. Steve Mackle says the toughest part of the job is the driving. Showing up and doing the voices and reading, that's the fun part. But we get paid for all the driving we do.
Yeah.
And you know, as many people as have a home studio, you know, that's great for auditioning stuff. But when you get the job, they want you there. They want to be able to give you direction face to face.
Exactly.
And they want you there. So
yeah.
It's a lot of miles on a car.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a comfortable car.
Like a Lexus.
It's still a lot of miles on the car.
This will be like a new drinking game. Every
but
time
it's
we
not,
say Lexus,
hold on.
You have to drink.
It's not like Lexus at the end of the term or whatever of the lease or whatever, that they're going to say, oh, Mr. LaMarche, you put extra miles on the car.
Well, we'll see.
They're going to don't worry about it. Here's a new one.
There you go. Exactly.
Right?
Well, I generally roll the car over. Yeah. So
get down, baby.
So, but you know, it's a lot of, and it's LA traffic. Mm. So yeah, you know, it's a lot of time taken up where I don't write that act or I don't write that blog if I did decide I wanted to put my opinions out there. And, you know, and so, you know.
How about a camera in your car? Okay, so that you have your own podcast and it's live.
Well,
that's how International Talk Like William Shatner
Day got
started.
Yes, we wanted to ask you about
that. Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, I didn't mount it or anything, but my friend Bill Bigger used to produce.
You guys co-created this.
Yes, Bill Bigger stuck the camera in my face. He used to produce promos at the WB for Animaniacs, Pinky and the Brain. And I was driving to the airport. We've been talking for several months about doing a tutorial on how to talk like William Shatner, and I had been saying, you know, talk like a pirate day, anybody can talk like a pirate.
Yeah.
Talking like William Shatner, that's where the germ of it came from.
Yeah.
And then I found out there was a Facebook group called International Talk Like William Shatner Day after the fact, after I'd done my video.
After the fact.
And this guy, Doug Van Horn, had created his own International Talk, so we joined forces. But we were both two people who had the same thought independent of each other. And we both thought his birthday was the best day for it. So we did international. He stuck the camera in my face, and I just for 5 minutes just gave a tutorial on how to talk like William Shatner on his 78th birthday. Be quick and hail is the best part. So
it's a great video.
So that's
it's so
yeah.
Funny.
So that's that. So every year, and now it went from like 30 views on the first day.
Yeah.
Then Harry Knowles from Ain't It Cool News picked it up, and you know, featured it on his page, and it went up to like something like 20,000 views.
Wow.
And then 50,000 views. I think it's close to 100,000 views now. But it went from this thing, nobody, here's the deal. The very day, the very first International Talk Like William Shatner Day, a friend of ours, Dave Doré from NBC, was in the vet, and Shatner was there with his, bringing in his, I think it was a dog, and Dave said, no. Mr. Shatner, did you know today's International Talk Like William Shatner Day? And he went, I don't know anything about that. And he left. And he went from that to last year, Shatner started tweeting about it. He started going, today's International Talk Like Me Day. Who am I supposed to talk like?
Nice. You know,
so he kind of caught fire. March 22nd.
Yeah.
Kind of caught fire and became a minor part of the culture.
Yeah.
People are talking about this thing, International Talk Like William Shatner Day, and I didn't get a publicist. I didn't do anything. I just talked to a camera stuck in my face in the car.
So cool.
And it's now this thing.
See? So if you can have that much success with talking like William Shatner Day, imagine your own blog, your own like show.
But that's because I wasn't trying for it.
While you're in the car.
Everything good that's happened to me was not an ambition of mine. Wasn't something I tried for. Everything I try to make happen, you know, force a square peg into a round hole, falls apart. But anything I do just for fun and, you know, to help out, whatever, that stuff takes off.
Exactly. You got about being of service.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly.
So it was just a fun thing.
Yeah, and I tell people all that all the time, you know, don't be desperate about stuff because nobody wants to work with anybody desperate, right?
It's true. It's definitely true.
Yeah.
He was just saying a couple minutes ago when we were on a commercial that he goes, this is like kind of like being in, you know, somebody's living room with some good friends just having a chat.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely. I was all nervous.
You were nervous?
I was nervous. I'm not used to being seen. Yes. I like the anonymity.
He likes the voice.
I came to Los Angeles to take it over, to become the guy that walks into the Palm and head snap and go, it's that guy from that show. And now it's like I don't know whether it's lower testosterone, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I am so thrilled to be an anonymous voiceover guy.
Yeah.
Where, you know, just nobody knows it's me and they just send me the check and it's nice and I live comfortably. I mean, I've got some famous friends and I go out for dinner with them.
Yeah.
And being famous is a pain in the ass.
It is a pain in the ass, man. But some people love it.
And I'm always nice. If anybody, I mean, I'm stunned when anybody recognizes me out there in the world.
Yeah.
With the advent of the internet, you know, people see your picture.
Absolutely.
And it happened to me once on a date.
On a date?
Yes, I got recognized on a date. That was very.
Was it by your date or by someone else?
No,
Date recognition?
Well, that would have been
they
different.
They came up to me in the Aroma Cafe and and said, "Are you Maurice LaMarche?" I was like, "Oh, this is going extremely well."
Like,
oh, I think.
Actually,
well, thank you, young man. And I didn't. And I made a joke. I said, "I'll give him $20 later." And,
oh, you know,
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
but I mean, it doesn't happen that often. Just enough that where it reminds me that people are liking what I'm doing. That it's not happening in a vacuum, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't crave that kind of attention anymore. You know.
Well, people are not liking what you're doing, buddy. People are loving what you're doing.
Oh,
and you know, I got to say something, and I'm going to put you on the spot for a second, and then she's going to put you on the spot. But you know, what you said earlier about the advice that somebody gave you about, you know, just, you know, giving back and being a service. I have to say something. That is how you live your life.
I try.
And yeah. I want to have a be more like Maurice LaMarche Day.
Yeah.
Be more like Mo Day.
Be more like Mo Day. I mean,
yes.
Because
eat a lot.
Yes. No. More people need
more
to be like
sounds.
That, man.
Hmm.
Hmm.
What?
More people need to be like you.
Oh,
Mo.
That's very
they just
kind.
Do. Okay. I'm just saying that you're a great guy, man. And it's like it's no wonder that you are, you know, as successful as you are. Yeah, you're talented, but you know what? You're a great guy. People love
Thank
you. You're great to
guy.
Hang out with,
Thank
and you.
You
care about people.
Well, I do. I do. I mean, I do. And you know, I mean, I had the good fortune, and I can't go into the story now. It's a long, long story. But I had the good fortune to have an audience with the Dalai Lama once, and you know, I read later on, we talked more about forgiveness in that talk, but I followed his, I never became a Buddhist or anything like that, but he said once, immediately afterwards, my religion is kindness. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, now that's something I can get through. This is, and it's not complex, it's just be kind.
There you go.
So I try to bring that with me everywhere I go. You know, I'm
well, you do.
Right
I'm feeling it
now.
Right now, baby.
You do.
Thank you.
You do.
Get down. And I know you guys are too.
Yeah.
Because this guy's for real.
Yeah.
Now you put him on the spot.
Uh-oh. What do we got?
No, like,
that looks like a bathroom
remember earlier
book.
How you said you were nervous about coming here?
I was like one of those bathroom books that you, know, that you keep by the side and then you open it up.
Being
you're...
with the King of the Farts, it seems like an appropriate book.
Yeah, right?
Pick a number between 5 and 129.
82?
82. Okay.
Why not?
Why not? 82 is a perfectly beautiful number.
It's a number.
Okay. If you could have the lips of any living person... whose would you want?
What? Yes.
Oh my gosh. It's got to be living. Because I always thought Cary Grant had a
we
great.
We could say living or dead.
Yeah.
It's our show.
I guess if I want to.
Yeah, we can change
if
that.
If I could have any lips, I'd want Cary Grant's lips. They were just, they were tremendous lips. He was just a very lippy fellow. Yeah, I don't know.
Cary Grant. Cary Grant's lips.
Cary Grant's lips.
Oh my God.
Yes.
You are
oh
a freaking blast and a half, dude. Thank you for coming on VO Buzz Weekly.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. This
here.
Was fun. I
absolutely,
had a great time.
Man. And
continued
maybe
continued success and abundance. You're such
thank
a
you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Go be of service. Show up on time. Be easy to work with. And study acting.
Thank you. Hi! It's me, Maurice LaMarche. I've had a good time on the I just got buzzed with Chuck and Stacey on VO Buzz Weekly. Hello.
I've never done that voice before in my life. I'm normally the deep-voiced guy, the Orson Welles guy, but that was fun. That's what I mean by getting buzzed on VO Buzz Weekly with Chuck and Stacey. And now I'm doing William Shatner.
Well, that is enough action for one day, I must say. What do you think?
I say.
She says. Be back next week for another awesome episode of VO Buzz Weekly.
And find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest, you guys, at VO Buzz Weekly. Take care, everybody, and just remember,
you always have time for a little buzz.
Don't just listen to VO Buzz Weekly. Watch the show in stunning HD video at VOBuzzWeekly.com, on their YouTube channel, or on the app.
VO Buzz Weekly is sponsored by Chuck Duran's
Demos That Rock.
The voiceover demo producer to the stars is now available to you.
Visit DemosThatRock.com
and take your voiceover career to the next level.
See you next time. And remember, you always have time for a little buzz.